Hello, everyone. Hello, 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 and welcome to Beyond the Beat. It's great to be back here for episode 6, and we've got a really great show for you. How are you feeling, Samir? How's it going, dude, over there in New York?
Alec, I was telling you, man, when we were offline that, yeah, dude, it's freaking snowing out here, man. I'm so pissed. Like, after we finish recording this episode, I'm going to have to trudge through the snow to get back home, you know? But besides that, man, I don't mean to be a downer, but yeah, I'm excited. Thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 6 on Beyond the Beats. If you guys haven't done so already, please be sure to, you know, give us a rating on the Apple Podcast Store. You know, leave us a comment. Feel free to give us a review. Those things go a very, very long way. But thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 6.
Yeah, man. And we, you know what? Let's just jump right into it because we've got a lot of stuff to cover today.
For sure, dude.
Bunch of new music, right? Above and Beyond and Armin van Buuren. Finally, they released something together.
Exactly. I was feeling that same way when I saw that it was released. Finally, these guys did something together. But yeah, yep. Keep going.
Everyone too. Then we've got Dylan Francis with a new song, which is pretty cool. It's going back to his old, I quote, bullshit ways.
Yep.
Absolutely love that. Alan No, Dylan Nathaniel, Yellow Claw, and Kashmir. Mm-hmm. So we've got some interesting news coming up from Kashmir too, with a couple of shows that he's doing. I'll be really interested to see how those go. Because I know he's quite musically talented and creative, so we'll see. Ascot 900 just happened, right? Big announcement there too. Alice in Wonderland headlining Red Rocks. That's a really big deal.
That's a
Boombox
huge deal,
Cartel.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's huge. It's just great to see. It's just great. We'll get into that.
We'll definitely dive into it for sure.
Definitely. Samir's experience at Prida. That got a lot of attention. Absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for paying attention to that. I went to a last-minute show last night, actually, and then I'm up here to record for you. See, we love you here at Beyond the Beat.
Alec, really, how you feel, man? Are you tired? I know you were out for quite some time last night, man.
I'm a little tired, but, you know, just knowing that I have the Beyond the Beats in the morning is just, that's what gets me up, man. That's what gets me up.
And a lot of coffee, dude.
A shitload of coffee. Mysteryland lineup has been revealed in Amsterdam. It's fantastic. UMF Korea, Bill Nye the Science Guy. I'll just leave that one there, see if people piece together what the hell he is doing in the electronic music verse. We've got the classic, the anti-plur moment. This one's going to be a pretty good one, I think, something that everyone can relate to.
Absolutely.
We've got our classic sections coming up and our favorite sections, the what are we listening to. We've got an EP and then Gesäffelstein's new song. Pretty good. You guys have probably heard it. We liked it. Artists that we're watching, and we've got, you know what, I'll save those to the end because I think, you know, I'm really happy with the people that we chose this week.
Absolutely, dude. Some just stacked fire for the artists that we're watching section, man.
And just as always, like, every one of these guys, you know, and gals, they're fantastic, you know.
For sure.
Go check us out on our SoundCloud. We just made that, you know, it's easier than going through all the show notes. If you just want to see, you know, the people that we talked about in the songs, go on our SoundCloud, you know, show us some love on there too.
Absolutely.
Definitely, man. All right, well, let's get straight into it with Above and Beyond. What are your thoughts?
Dude, Above and Beyond and Armin van Buuren, first of all, yeah, Alec, I completely agree with you in terms of, you know, finally we got this track. We finally got a collab from these guys. Show Me Love, and I was, you know, when you look at the title Show Me Love, you're expecting some straight-up cheese, you know what I mean, some cheesy-ass trance lyrics, you know, coupled with a trance drop. No, actually, surprisingly, this song is pretty sick. It's a new sound that I feel like I was not expecting, especially with Above and Beyond being thrown into the mix here. And I'm very happy with the way that this track came out. Show Me Love is a great song, and we will have a link to it in our show notes as well. But Alec, dude, tell me what you thought, man.
You know, Samir, I thought that this was... It was a lot harder than I expected. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, harder in the trance things, right? So it's not, you know, hard in any other sense than that, but it's a great song. I just really was very impressed with they came out and they swung for the fences on this one. You know, I don't know if the title was maybe something to like throw people off a bit. I don't know, but it was a great song, you know, and I'm really excited to see if they've got anything else in the pipeline.
Dude, I totally agree with that, man. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on some more releases and hopefully some more collaborations between, you know, these two trance powerhouses out here. But you know, we got Dylan Francis and TV Noise with another collaboration called EDM O'Clock, and dude, Dylan Francis, like he posted on Reddit, he is truly, truly back on his bullshit, because this song is actually really fucking funny, man. Like, it's like it's that typical Dylan Francis type of humor where he was attempting to kind of make fun of the current state of EDM and the sounds that were popular in 2018 and that have carried over into 2019. They took a little bit of a jab at Fisher's Losing It with like those really loud like trap horns that go, you know, I'm losing it, you know, so like taking a stab at that. But this song, actually, even on the drop, I was very, very happy to hear what I was saying. I like the first drop better than like the second drop, but this song is great. I liked it, man. What do you think?
No, me too, man. I really enjoyed it. It's good to see. You know, I think his second album, his sophomore album, blanking on the name right now, was a bit, I don't want to use the term controversial, but it was different, shall we say.
For
you know,
sure,
I
dude.
Think we were definitely talking about how his music has, you know, recently been different from what he originally was known for. I mean, still one
Moomba,
of my favorite.
I miss that Moomba sound, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, with the exception of that dolphin song.
Oh, my God.
I absolutely love that song. I think it's the most funny
song.
Thing ever.
Yeah.
Anyhow, good. Everyone go check it out. You know, we've got some more news coming up about him later, too. So then Aluno with 303.
Dude, freaking loved it, man. Loved it.
Yeah,
I really can say.
It's just a great
song.
Everyone, just go check it out. It's a really good song. Classic Aluno. I didn't know that she was going to come out with this, but this is a
me neither.
Really
I was again pleasant. That's what I love about this show is like we scour the internet, we scour the forums, we find some new music, and it shocks us when we see an artist that we like drop a track out of nowhere. And Ana Luno did a great job with 303. And again, her song will be linked in our show notes, so definitely go check that out.
Indeed, indeed. And I know that we've had a little bit of a disagreement about
this
one, but Dylan Nathaniel's Pressure EP came out on the 22nd of February. But, you know, you really liked it. Tell me, what made you really like that EP?
You know, I've been a fan of Dylan Nathaniel ever since we saw him when he played at Output back when you were on the East Coast, when he opened for, this is going to kill me if I don't get this one, man. Part of
Destructo.
Hard Records.
Destructo.
Damn it. I knew it started with the D. Yes, Destructo. Thank you, dude. It was Destructo. And ever since we heard him, I think he played before Destructo and he played after Destructo's set. And, dude, just crazy amount of talent. I can understand, Alec, why you weren't, like, totally, you know, jazzed about this EP called Pressure. I just love his sound, and I think that while some of his tracks were a little bit lacking as compared to what we heard live and like some of his other tracks that he's released before, I still think this was an overall pretty solid EP.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth a listen, but for me, it's like, you know, I really do like him a lot. You know, I mean, he's still got some absolute bangers that he's released before,
right?
Resonate.
On.
You know, that's another great song. Everyone should definitely go check it out. If you're a fan of Marla or any G-House, you definitely would have heard this song before. You probably didn't realize it was him, Dylan Nathaniel, but I was just a little bit disappointed. I think that's really what it is. It's not bad. It's not that it's not well done or anything. It's just I was a little bit let down.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I understand that. Not every release from an artist that we're watching or artist that we like is going to be a slam dunk. But anyways, man. We got Yellow Claw with their new song, Give It To Me. I feel like this is that typical Yellow Claw kind of like festival banger track, you know what I mean? Just meant to be loud, meant to pump people up, you know, pounding kicks, pounding, you know, very loud synths. How do you feel about it, man?
I mean, it's
Yeah, exactly.
It was really, like, you know, I mean, look, there's a lot of people and like, you know, who like Yellow Claw and stuff. It's just, I'm a little bit over them, I think.
Right. Agreed.
You know, at this point, like they, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's good, it's solid, but it's nothing that, you know, it's not going to make me want to go see him.
For sure. Completely, completely agreed. Yeah, it's definitely probably just not a set that you will catch us at. But another song, and this is an artist that I actually like, and then this song kind of let me down here. Kashmir, he did a song with Ives V. Am I saying that right, Alec? Do you know Ives V? Y-V-E-S-V? I don't know.
To be honest, I'm just going to let you have a stab at that one.
Oh,
not comment.
Okay.
I'll
plead good,
the fifth
man.
On that
Our,
one.
Listeners, I'm sorry if I'm completely butchering that name. Kashmir,
it's
Ives
me.
V.
He's the one butchering
it. Is me, yeah. You can tweet angrily at me at podbtb. But, you know,
no,
the song
it's
is
personal.
Called...
Don't put it on our account.
No, I don't have a Twitter. I don't have my own personal Twitter.
Oh, that's
but,
right. Okay.
Well. Anyways, the song is called No Regrets. It's featuring Cruella, and I've... Just multiple thoughts. I'm just going to go through quickly on this. Number one, Cruella, just they seem to just pop up their head, and now it's just the two women. They just seem to pop up their head in just random places, and like every single time they get involved in a track, I feel like it's just not great. The lyrics are extremely, extremely cheesy, dude. It's just like, it's like another one of those songs that I feel like was popular in like the early 2000s EDM, which is like, you can escape and you can float away and, you know, don't worry about anything. Like, don't have any regrets. Just fly away. Like, what the fuck are you even talking about? All right. Like, what are you even talking about? Just stay. Oh my. Like, I get it. Like, I love lyrics that I guess are uplifting and motivational, but we've heard this kind of trope again and again and again. Stop trying to bring this bullshit back. It's dead. And so don't, like, I just wish this song was released without the lyrics, but I think I would have liked it more because I do like Kashmir's sound. It's very clean production. What's that?
No, continue. This is great.
Sorry, yeah,
this is
I gold. Know. We're already getting to the anti-blur moment, but
this is gold. I way to kill the optimism.
But basically,
man.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm really, like, murdering this right now. But anyways, but Kashmir's production is clean as usual. The man, he knows what he's doing. I've always enjoyed every set I've gone to of his. I'm not a fan of every single one of his releases, but I like what he's going for. And speaking of what he's going for, he's actually going to be doing an orchestra show in New York City on May 1st, which I'm hoping to be in attendance of. So keep an eye on our socials. You know, we'll probably be posting from there if I end up getting a ticket and end up going to that show. But that's our new music section, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
sweet.
Yeah. Moving on. We've got Ascot 900. It just happened, right? So
a
this
state
is a
of trance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, couldn't have said it any better than that. That's exactly what it is. If people didn't know,
insane.
Yeah. You know, it's. Have you ever been to one?
I never have, dude. But I know, like, Armin does. Well, we kind of technically have been to one, man. Like, where Armin will host, you know, the megastructure at Ultra, and that is a part of his A State of Trance radio show. Like, I believe that counts as an episode of his radio show. And
but
so
we didn't even like go to that because it was so ridiculously packed.
Oh yeah, I mean, I
do you remember
we
that?
Definitely
it was like
yeah.
outside of the megastructure.
For sure, yeah. We definitely did not end up at Armin's set itself, but we did, I think, at the beginning of that day, we did see, we were quickly there for a set, and then I went to go see Eric Pritz, right before he went on, before Armin. But yeah, trance is not a genre that I particularly dabble in, but you got to give the man credit for just being an absolute powerhouse in the scene, you know, having an extremely successful brand like A State of Trance, and 900 is certainly a milestone that should be celebrated, and he's coming up on 1,000, dude. Like, I cannot believe it.
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's you know, been in the game for so long, and he's done a great job with it. You know, I think
for sure.
I think I definitely maybe like trance a little bit more than you do in some ways, but then again, I'm not well versed in it. And so, if anyone has any suggestions on people to listen to, because that's part of the problem, I don't even know where to look.
Right
for the more underground, up and coming trance people. So please let me know. But on the topic of State of Trance 900, so he announced that he's taking it to the Bay Area, where I will be in June.
Last week, we got Hodor out in New York City, and now we got Alec out on the West Coast in San Francisco. He's got a State of Trance coming his way. We're going coast to coast, baby. Love it.
Exactly. What up? But you know, man, like I think I might go see that, to be honest. Like,
I think that'd be sick.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good time. You know, I'd be really interested to see the talent that he's bringing along with him.
For sure.
But you know, he's also taking it to. So it's a world tour, right? So it's going to Madrid. It's taking it obviously to Ultra Miami. It's actually going to Kyiv in Ukraine, or as Americans like to pronounce it, Kiev.
I did not know that it was actually pronounced Kyiv. I had no idea, dude. I was because when you said Kyiv, I was like, oh, Alec is saying that wrong, but. I didn't know that was the proper pronunciation.
Yeah, and oh god, now we're gonna have
a little geography lesson here.
I'm still probably kind of butchering it, but at least it's the I don't know.
We'll better way to say it. Yeah,
exactly. And then Tomorrowland, he's finishing up with. So
right.
If anyone you know has went to the, you know, I know we've got listeners all around the world. So if anyone's gone to, you know, this went to that. The State of Trance show that just happened, you know, send us some photos, some videos and whatever.
For sure.
Give you a shout. I would love to see it.
Absolutely. Moving on, dude. Speaking of shows that are happening, we got Alison in Wonderland, and this is big. Alison in Wonderland, her first headlining set is sold out at the iconic venue in Colorado, Red Rocks. I mean, This is a big deal, and these tickets actually sold out pretty quickly. Like, I remember when the show was announced, when the sale happened, and then when I saw her post that the show was completely sold out, I think it happened in like a day or two, like probably even on the first day that this show sold out. And so congratulations to, I mean, Alice in Wonderland on her massive success. I think 2018 was a big year for her, and this tour and this collab that she did with Dylan Francis is going to, you know, make her even bigger this year. But I mean, this is a big deal. So, I think Red Rocks is such a great venue, and it's very cool that she gets to play there. And we also have one of our favorite artists opening for her, Ikali, which is going to be freaking sweet. I wish we could go. I wish Colorado was closer to us, but maybe one day we'll make our way to Red Rocks.
You know, it's funny. So it's not terribly far from me, really. It'd be probably further for you to go to.
Alec, then what the fuck, dude? Get over there, man. one of us has to get to Red Rocks, man. We've talked about this. I know.
Hey, man, San Francisco is expensive. There's a lot of... it's hard to get to some of these places. But no, man, this is just so great for her. She's been on a roll recently.
For sure.
So this is just great. And what I love about her, too, is that she's very genuine with absolutely everything. You know, and you can see the absolute, you know, when she's DJing, I don't know if you've seen it before, but she's really, really into it, you know, and she's always been like fantastic with her fans.
Right.
So it's great to see somebody like that, you know, really sell out such an iconic venue.
Absolutely. And she's multi-talented as well, dude. Like, I did not realize it until I saw this video on Instagram, but the lyrics for the song Lost My Mind, she actually sang that. So that's her singing. Yeah, I did not know that.
No, it's amazing. Yeah,
it's sick.
And she could also play. She did a beautiful I'm blanking.
The cello. I think it was the cello.
The cello. Yeah. Yes, the cello. Yeah. So she's very talented. Definitely. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes.
For sure.
And hopefully I can catch like the sound of it. Because when I saw her play, it was a while ago when I saw her play. So I'm sure, you know, she was good, but I'm sure she's gotten even better.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely, yeah. You know, we've touched upon Dylan Francis a little bit here, but Dylan Francis and Boombox Cartel, who we are massive, massive fans are. Boombox Cartel just goes extremely hard. They'll be in New York on May 4th, so, you know, hoping to, you know, maybe cop some tickets to that. But they have a collab coming up. Not only that, Dylan Francis is working on This Mixtape Is Fire number 2. So I think in 2015, he came out with This Mixtape Is Fire. You know, had a couple of songs on there. Yeah, one of them was a collab with Skrillex, but he's working on number 2. And like we talked about at the top of the show, he posted on Reddit that he is back on my bullshit. He is back to his normal sound. Thank goodness. He kind of departed made his way into Spanish music a little bit, where, you know, a little bit lighter, a little bit more dancier, but I'm pumped to see what Dylan Francis gets into next. EDM O'Clock, like I said, I thought was a good song. And Lost My Mind as well, the collab he did with Alice in Wonderland, was also a good song. So I'm happy that he's back to like this harder sound. Hopefully more Moomba is coming out from him. We need that shit.
Definitely agreed, man. You know, I think that this release too, you know, that he's really just been leading up to This Mixtape Is Fire too. Like these releases are clearly just showing, okay, like he's going back towards that direction. And it was just made sense to announce now that he's working on this. So looking forward to, I don't know what the timeline is for it, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Dude, I completely agree.
Definitely, man. But like, so you went to, this got a lot of attention.
Oof.
Absolutely love that it did, because, you know, and thank you everyone for doing that, because it's really nice to see that when you're being genuine about something, right, that people can connect to that and support that, right? You know, because you were a little bit surprised even about the amount of attention it got. But it just shows, man, passion gets you places and authenticity gets you places too.
Alec, completely agree with you, dude. You know, our show is young. Our social accounts are young as well. So, you know, we're still working on building a follower base on, you know, each of those platforms. And again, thank you all to our followers so far. We really appreciate the support. It really, truly, truly means a lot to us. But when I had posted my post about going to see Prida, who is an alias of Eric Prydz, and again, Eric Prydz is my absolute, absolute favorite artist. Any opportunity that I have to see him here in New York City, we'll definitely be taking advantage of. And actually, Alec and I just copped tickets to go see Adam Baer back-to-back Series D in Vegas when we go out there for EDC Vegas. But that's a side, yeah, big time. It's going to be huge. But side note, you know, outside of that, I posted about my experience in seeing Prida at a Brooklyn Warehouse. And again, we have 13 followers on Twitter, and when I woke up the next morning and all throughout the day after posting it, I could not believe the reception that we got. I mean, there was like over 250 likes on it, almost 50 retweets on it. We saw somebody had posted the link to that tweet in the subreddit on reddit.com/r/EricPrids. So that was huge. Truly, truly, out of the 10 times that I've seen Eric Prids play as himself or any of his aliases, this was the best set I have ever heard from him.
That's saying something.
Yeah, huge, dude. And just want to give a shout out to my friend Todd, who I met at Creamfields, who flew out from California to come to the show with me. He's also a massive Prids fan. But the Pride of Tour has come to an end now. The Chicago show happened, Toronto, Boston, and then the New York City show and DC shows. They're all done. And Eric Prids will continue his tour, his Pride of Tour in Miami. But just what a wonderful, wonderful night, dude. What a great crowd, great vibes, and a great warehouse and great production.
That's great to hear, man. I've actually never seen him as Prider.
Dude, it's magical. It's truly, truly magical. Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, dude. When we saw Adam Baer back-to-back Series D, that was an incredible set. Just two masterminds in techno going at it, just unrelentless. And I was happy we got to see them do their back-to-back in Miami. But I think the production for that Miami show, that back-to-back, was better, right? But they really outfitted the warehouse spaces that they did this in with a very customized setup. But the music from the Pride of show was just beautiful, dude. Just beautiful. He's a mastermind of mixing, and again, wonderful night.
That's great to hear, man. Yeah. No, fantastic. You know, yeah, I can't wait to see, you know, him as Series D, but I'm definitely going to try catch Prider at some point.
For sure. And I hope he plays as Prider or Eric Prids at EDC Vegas when we go. But, dude, enough me just fanboying over here about Eric Prids. Tell me about Anna, dude. Like, I was so pumped when you texted me that you were going to go see Anna last night in San Francisco.
It was, you know, it was one of those things where it was just a completely last minute decision.
Love that.
So my girlfriend and I, Vicky, we just decided, we're like, you know what, there's tickets still on sale, why not go grab them? You know, just, you know, recently decently priced tickets, but it was the last tier, so that we know it was gonna be a good show because there's a lot of people who were going. But you know what's interesting is that I'd never really heard about her before, and so for those of you that don't know who she is, that she's kind of this rising star in the Drum Code label, Adam Baer's label, Drum Code. And she's this Brazilian DJ. And so she actually grew up, she's been DJing, I believe, since 14. And she grew up,
Awesome.
Cutting tracks and helping her dad run a nightclub outside of Sao Paulo.
Whoa, that's sick. I had no idea there's that much history behind her.
There's so much history with it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's another one of those DJs. It's funny, just talk about Alice in Wonderland being really into it. You know, it was great also to see her. She's really, really into the music. And she's able to control the mood very well. So this was I went in with decently high expectations when I started looking her up, and I saw that one of her songs, it's blanking my name right now, but I'll put it in the show notes. I believe it's called Sleepless. I might be wrong with that. But that song has been supported by Adam Baer himself and another one of Samir's favorite people, Chris Liebing.
Huge fan of Chris Liebing, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely huge on that. But she was great. I'm definitely gonna be posting some videos of it. She's got this like darker vibe of techno, but she switches it with some lighter notes every now and then, which is nice. And what I appreciate is her ability to really read the energy level in the room and figure out, okay, how do we get to some tracks further on down that are gonna get people, you know, back into the real groove of things there. So she's really good at controlling the room.
Love it, dude. And Alec, did you, you know, you've been to not that many techno shows, but you've been to a few, and I know I took you to Adam Baer back-to-back Series D. Like, did this kind of increase your interest in techno after seeing her last night?
You know, it's funny is that actually it hasn't really made a difference, but I've just been on my own getting more interested anyway.
Love it, dude.
You know, I was raving about them to you the other day, but I was listening to UMEK.
Yes, Umek, yeah, dude.
Umek or whatever, yeah exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants it to be stylized as UMEK or like Umek, but yeah, Umek.
Well, there we go. See, I'm a new guy to the techno world, so forgive
right on.
All the techno heads. Forgive me, please. But yeah, I've just been getting more into it, and just other shows like this, you know, really do make me want to go see more proactively, right?
Hell yeah.
Proactively go out of my way. And San Francisco really is actually a very good place to see some great underground techno and tech house artists. I've been shocked by the amount of house, tech house, and techno that is in this area. And there's a long history of it, you know, which at some point I'm definitely going to want to go into because it's fascinating stuff.
But, right.
This is the perfect place for me, actually. It's just funny timing how you introduced me to techno. Then I moved to a place where there's, you know, probably a lot more of it than you get in New York, or at least in terms of accessibility.
Right.
Right. Like, it's very easy to go see a rant, like just what I did, right? Like, she's not by any means like small underground time, right? But I could just quickly buy a ticket and go see it.
Right, right. I hear you, man. Yeah, New York actually has a pretty incredible techno scene. You know, like there's like a lot of small underground parties that you'll see like flyers pop up for on social media and stuff. But
oh, sorry, I should probably clarify. I didn't mean that. There's not. Yeah, it's not necessarily in terms of the amount I meant. It's just probably more mainstream here.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I meant to say.
Totally understand, yeah, no, man.
I definitely
hear what you're saying on that. Yeah.
Definitely much more. Accepted as part of mainstream culture in San Francisco.
Nice. I love that, dude. I really do. And yeah, man, hopefully, you know, when I come out to San Francisco in May and, you know, when we go to EDC Vegas, we'll get a chance to like listen to some more techno. We already have tickets to go see Adam Baer Series D again. So, you know, that's already on the horizon for us. But man, I was so pumped to see that, you know, you went to go see her because she's been popping up in my social media feeds. And you should definitely, you know, you should definitely post up a video on our Instagram, man.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I posted on the Instagram story last night a little bit, but I've got a couple really neat videos that I'm going
to
throw up on the social media probably tonight or tomorrow. Looking forward to it. But on the techno side of things, right, we've got BBC Radio 1 announcing their new resident DJ lineup.
Huge, dude. This is huge.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I stumbled across this. I use a little app called Feedly. I've told you about it, Samir, but it's for anyone that's interested. It's a great, you know, no, this is not a sponsorship. I genuinely just really like this app. It's free, you know, and that's how we keep track of like all the different news going on, because it sets up keyword searches and you can follow your favorite outlets, etc. But I stumbled across this and I was just shocked. I didn't even realize that this was going on, but you've got some big names now coming in. Charlotte DeWitt, we absolutely love it, don't we, Samir?
Yeah, massive fans of Charlotte DeWitt, dude. I mean, that's huge. And then you got Marcel Detman, you got Honey Dijon, you got Jada G, Paul Wolford, and Hi, H-A-A-I. I think that's how it's to be pronounced. But this is, I mean, dude, BBC Radio 1, they always just get absolutely fire talent on their show. This is huge.
They really do, you know, and I love to see the techno-heavy side of it, right? You know, and it's just great to see these people getting there, because that is it's a pretty big deal. You know, I don't know. I think people probably in techno realize that it's a big deal, but I think maybe just listeners in general who are not into really the techno scene,
right?
And you know, haven't really been to the UK or anything like. But this is a big deal. You know, like this is definitely, you know, gonna grab some headlines in Europe on
completely
just general
agreed
papers in general, because it's a big deal. It's a big honor. You know, and I know we were chatting a little bit before, Samir, but so Hi is interesting. I've never heard of him either, but he's this real up-and-coming young Australian. Australia's got a bunch of people.
Yes, dude.
Right,
we talked. We briefly touched about upon this last week.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like everywhere. It's Australians everywhere. Oh, my God. They're all coming over from the Southern Hemisphere. Dear Lord.
For sure.
Help us all. But I love Australia.
Yeah.
I love Australians. But so the Hi, he's like this. It's this. It's a really, really intriguing sound. So he has a techno sound, but it's I don't even really how to describe it. It can be pretty creepy, actually. The only thing I can really recommend is that everyone just goes and he has a SoundCloud. You can see it in our show notes. Just go and listen to him, because it's just really interesting, because he's apparently quite hot right now on the circuit. So I'm really interested to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's quite hot right now. I mean, clearly, I mean, he got this residency, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but this is going to be great. Like, everyone should just definitely go check him out, support him as you can. And if you want some good quality music, these are the people that you're going to get it from.
Right on, man. Right on. All right, we talked about BBC Radio 1. We're going to move on more into Europe here. We got the Mysteryland lineup that was announced. Mysteryland takes place in, I believe, Amsterdam in the Netherlands. So, you know, it's a huge, huge festival out there. And their lineup was dropped. Again, very, very stacked lineup, as expected from Mysteryland. It looks like a pretty cool festival, but, you know, on the lineup, we got the heavy hitters. We got Dimitri Vegas and Like Michael. You know, again, I'm not a huge fan of, but whatever. Claptone, Kashmir, Oliver Heldens, Sam Felt. You know, these are the bigger names. We got Martin Garrix, Alice in Wonderland. Again, Alice in Wonderland, just, you know, she's killing it everywhere she goes. Nicky Romero, Sigala, who my brother saw and really, really liked. And Chami and Mala, baby, they're doing No Redemption. I love it, man. I love it. Is this
going to continue forever? I hope so. I mean, are they just going to do No Redemption
for the next few years? Hope so as well, man. I really do. Because just, I love that tour, man. We've seen it twice now, I think, right? Miami.
Twice, definitely. Yeah. Once at Ultra, and then we saw her in Brooklyn.
Right. Oh, I was thinking about when they did it at Creamfields, but then I realized that I didn't go to that because they were conflicting with Eric Prydz, and Eric Prydz will always win. But anyways,
wow,
big time, man. But Mala. Chami Mala,
come on, yeah, guys, come on,
big
boys.
Time talent, dude. That No Redemption tour is sick. But Diplo, you got Dylan Francis, GTA, you got Anna Luneau. So, and then just more towards the house stuff. Danny Howard, Denson Pika, you got Scream, yes. You got Sonny James, Ryan Marciano. So, dude.
Oh, I forgot. So wait, Scream is going.
Yeah, Scream will be there, dude. Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Because he's part of Eats Everything, right?
Is he?
I think he is. Oh God, I could be getting this totally wrong. I hope I'm not. But yeah, no, it's
not
interesting.
Too sure. Yeah.
To see him there, you know, like that's great. I'm glad to see him.
It's huge, and you got Cocoon Records also hosting the stage Saturday, Sunday. So you got Sven Vath as well, Gregor Treasure. So, dude, this looks like a great lineup, and I feel like it has pretty much everything that you'd ever want. You got your techno, you got your trance, you got your big main stage heavy hitters. So this is great. You know, I love it.
Yeah, definitely, it's gonna be a good one.
Yeah. Just moving on with some more lineups around the world. We're gonna head over into Asia right now. You got Ultra Music Festival Korea Phase 1 has dropped, and it's freaking stacked, man. Virtual Self, Skrillex, Martin Garrix, and Swedish House Mafia. Like, that is huge.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. I mean, yeah, I really want to see, I don't know if he would, but do you think Virtual Self is gonna showcase some of the stuff that he's been working on, or is it way too early for that?
What do you mean? You mean at Ultra Korea?
Yeah.
You mean drop some new tracks?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he played at the Shrine, what is it, God Rays.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, God's Rays, yeah. So, you know, basically all of Virtual Self sets are pretty much either edits that he's done, remixes that he's done, or his originals. Like, that's what the track list looks like. And so I think, like, every single time he does a set, you will hear pretty much something new from him, whether it be an edit, a remix, or rarely an original track like we heard God's Rays at Shrine LA. So we'll see, man. I think in time for Ultra Korea, yeah, I think we could expect to hear a new ID from him. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know. I mean, it just, yeah, we'll have to see on that one, because he was talking about it and teasing it ever since the Grammys.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But, dude, what about Paradiso?
Yeah, Paradiso is like it's interesting, you know. Have you ever really looked at it or considered going?
I've heard of it before. You know, the line. There's so many festivals around the world and around the country that, you know, it's hard to really pay mind to all of them. But yeah, Paradiso I've heard of before, and they're back at the Gorge Amphitheater in Washington State, which is a beautiful, beautiful venue, dude. I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of it, but my gosh, it is like so, so pretty.
No, I looked it up, and you know, and just to match that setting, they've got it's a really good lineup, right?
For
You've got 1-7-8-8-L going, Alice in Wonderland, you know, Arm & Hammer. I'm kind of into them, man. I'd be really interested.
Yeah,
to
I'm into
see
them
if I
too.
Can hear this set.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, I don't really know too much about them or how new they are, but they've been doing some things recently. So
yeah, they've been around for a couple of years, but yeah, no, I definitely, I'm a fan of them as well, dude. I hear you.
Right, then they've got Bear Grylls, Benny Benassi, Borges, Born Dirty, who's actually pretty good too. They've got some harder ones here: Cookie Monster, Back to Back, Dr. P.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It just goes on. Elefante,
Skrillex,
Getter. Yeah, exactly. Skrillex, Habstrat, Hero Bust,
Cascade.
Elenium.
Yeah, Elenium. Yeah, I mean, dude, big time.
great, great lineup. I'm very impressed with it. You know, so maybe this is something on our pipeline just to go see at some point.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to the Gorge Amphitheater. I feel like it's like another one of those venues, kind of like Red Rocks, which is iconic, beautiful, set very nicely in, you know, nature and natural surroundings. So yeah, I think if I were to go to the Gorge Amphitheater, because, you know, like Above and Beyond did like an ABGT special showcase there. I think it was like 200 or 250 or something like that. I wouldn't necessarily go for something like that, but I would totally go for something like a Paradiso, especially with this lineup, which is absolute fire.
Definitely. And I can't believe I forgot to mention him, but do you know Zoo is playing?
I did not know Zoo was playing, dude. Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. He hasn't done a festival in forever.
Yeah, he's very, very picky about the festivals that he does. That's huge. So,
he just did that tour, right? You know, which I'm kicking myself I never went and see. So he's been really under the radar for a while, but it looks like he's getting back in the circuit.
Agreed, man. Yeah. And just congratulations to USC Events. Those are the guys who put on Paradiso. Just great job on the lineup, great job on the location. You guys are going to kill it. And listeners, if you've been to Paradiso before, if you're going to be going to Paradiso, definitely tweet us, or, you know, just share a picture or something. We would love to see what you guys have gotten into over there.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely, man. But speaking of festival things,
oh yeah,
interesting things, Bill Nye the Science Guy.
No dude, it's not Bill Nye the Science Guy anymore. It's Bill Nye the EDM guy. Okay, that's it. Okay, like, it's not even science rules. It's EDM rules. Like, this is huge, man. When I saw Bill Nye and Pasquale Rotella, the founder of Insomniac Events, who puts on EDC Vegas, when I saw like that they put a video out together, like, oh my god, I was so pumped.
It's so funny. You know, I really wish I had a little bit more time before we came across this to look into it, because I really want to know just why. Like, I think it's cool and I think it's awesome, but I just want to know why does he, because clearly he wants to do it. You know, this isn't one of those things where they're just like, I don't think they approached it. Maybe they did. I don't know.
But, I'm not too sure.
Right? Like, but clearly he proactively wants to do this and has an interest in it. So I'm really intrigued to see, why that is.
He better have a freaking interest in it, man, because he's doing the opening ceremony on the first day of EDC Vegas on the Friday. Like, that is so, so sick, you know? And you can even just tell in the video that Bill Nye, the EDM guy, was having such a great time with, doing the announcement video for the theme of EDC Vegas, which is energy. So, you know, just kinetic energy. Well, that'll probably be the name of the main stage. But just very, very exciting. It just adds to the hype. We are less than 11 weeks from EDC Vegas. It's going to be a great time. I know. And then with Bill Nye, doing the announcement with Pasquale Rotella, and also doing the opening ceremony on the first day, this is just huge, man. I think really played into the nostalgia that people feel for their childhood, and I think this is so sick.
Yeah, I guess that is really kind of the point of it, you know. It's just it's great. I'm looking forward to it. And I think the reason why I like it so much is not so much for the nostalgia piece, but because you're seeing more mainstream people, celebrities and figures getting involved.
Right on.
Right, you know, and it's just nice to see that there are, you know, people like that out there, they're getting involved. It just gives a good name to the music, and it's just, it's just fun, right? Like, he's a fun guy.
He really is.
It just adds a little bit extra, you know, fun element to it.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I'm very excited for this. So, but that pretty much covers our news and culture section, man.
Right.
This week.
But, man, let me tell you something that I am not excited about, and I never get excited about whenever I go out.
Oh, no, here it comes.
And this is
gentlemen.
Going straight into, we need like a horn or something.
We'll use like the losing it horn, you know what I mean? This is Alex Anti-Plur moment, you know?
Perfect, like, man. I think we got a snippet right there. We don't even need the horn. We'll just use your voice like
hell
that.
Hell yeah.
Be perfect.
I love it.
It'll be perfect. Fisher, what up?
yeah, what up, Fisher? Fucking love it. But, dude.
But yeah, man, like, it's just the thing that really irks me, right, is when people just don't respect other people around them when they're at a show. It blows my mind the amount of people, right? And this goes beyond just people, like, right, we talked about last week, people who, you know, not controlling themselves, right? This goes beyond those people. These are just people who are fine, but they're just like, yeah, I'm just going to be an absolute jerk. Or not even a jerk. I think even worse, at least they're making some type of conscious decision in that mindset to be a jerk. It's like, all right, you're a dick. You're going to be a dick. Great. But there are people who just are so oblivious, right, that they'll, like, stand right in front of you and back up into you and not say anything. You know? Yeah. And they, like, obstruct your view. And then they're just walking around or, you know, not really paying attention and just, like, they're on the phone and the screen brightness all up and it's in your face and you're trying to, like, watch it. It's just, you know, oh, God, it's just, like, people just have some, like, you know, respect for one another.
Right, dude. And I can understand to a certain degree, like, if somebody, like, is backing up to you accidentally, right, listeners, like, that happens. The crowd, you know, is, you know, they're pumped and people are jumping up and down, they're dancing, and maybe the person in front of you is, you know, kind of moving back a little bit or whatever, and that kind of cascades towards the back. But there are people, like Alec has said, who make a conscious decision to not be chill, and it's super, super annoying. I remember one time when my girlfriend and I, when we decided to go see Porter Robinson and Madeon do their Shelter tour, we went 2 weeks in a row on the second night in Philadelphia. We were next to this guy who was just super, super obnoxious, like very early on in the show, you know what I mean? Porter and Madeon were not even out. I'm pretty sure Danger, who was the opener before Porter and Madeon, didn't even do their set yet. I'm pretty sure it was Robotaki who was on, you know? It's not like the music was loud. It's not like the lights were going off. But this dude was just like super, super obnoxious. And, you know, I had to tell him. I was like, bro, can you just chill a little bit? Like, you know, you're really bumping into, like, everybody's space and, you know, making it a bit uncomfortable. Dude, I remember when we were at Skrillex at Webster Hall, like, somebody at, like, 4 in the morning, like, pushed me. You know, he was, like, clearly, I think he was just kind of hyped up on something and just, like, trying to bolt through the crowd or whatever it may be. But, yeah, dude, it's, like, people just need to learn to be a little bit chiller, you know what I mean? Be a little bit more aware of your surroundings and just, you know, overall, if you're chill, if you're more respectful of your surroundings, that will cascade around you. People will be in a better mood, and I think that that will really spread, you know, like that positive vibe, that respectful vibe.
100% agreed with that. God damn it, I'm saying 100% now. Dude. Oh, God, just like the last episode.
I love it.
Oh, dear Lord. Anyway, but no, I agree with you, man, but, you know, it's just common courtesy with it, you know, and there's just people who, it's just got to be considerate, right, of just people who are around you. Everyone's trying to have a good time.
Absolutely.
Don't be the person that's contributing it to it being bad. And look, we're not saying that you can't, like, let loose and have a time and, like, dance hard. That has nothing to do with it. But it's like, there are people who do that, right, but they also are conscious about the space.
Right.
And so they're not bumping into people, falling over. And then if they do, they're not like, oh, you know, I'm not going to not say anything. They're going to, like, apologize to you, right? And then that's fine. Like, that I'm fine with that. Like, if you're, like, proactively, like, you know, oh, I'm sorry, like, didn't see you there and stuff like that. Or, like, for instance, when people are trying to, like, get through, there are the people who, like, are very courteous, like, oh, I'm really sorry, can I get through? And they're, like, a lot more gentle about it. And there are people who just barge through, you know,
dude,
and just not care.
100% agreed. Like, completely agreed, you know? A quick excuse me, a quick thank you, a quick can I please get through, that goes such a long way. Like, it just, it makes it so much better to allow, it makes you more susceptible to wanting to people to, you know, either, you know, go through you or, you know, you'll move to the side for them. Those common courtesy manners, like, they just go a very, very long way. And I completely agree with you, Alec, 100%.
Well, I mean, and we didn't even touch upon the creepers.
Oh, God, man. Don't even get me started on the creepers, man. Like, Alec, it's just like when people, like, go to shows and, like, they creep on, you know, men and women, and they just, you know, they get too close and they start to get handsy, you know, with no sort of, like, yes, it's okay, you can do this. Like, what the fuck is that all about, man? You know, like, I
don't know.
I get so uncomfortable, you know, when, you know, I see people doing that around me. Like, it's just weird, you know? And then, like, the girl will tell him to back off, and, like, some, or the guy will tell him to back off, and, you know, the guy or girl, whoever's creeping, will, you know, maybe hover around and try again. But, like, what the fuck, you know? Like, just chill. This is no way to behave.
I don't know. It's kind of sad because this is supposed to be an environment where people, you know, no matter what you are, who you are, where you're from, you come and you have a good time, right? And you connect with everybody, you know, and then just you have these people that ruin that experience and that vibe, because it really does, like, you know, it could really unsettle.
Absolutely,
you know, and even it can unsettle me if I'm not even involved in it, right? Or if, you know, and I see somebody doing that to somebody else. It's right. unsettling.
Completely.
It really is unsettling. And it just ruins the vibe. And it's just like, who do you think? I don't know. I don't really understand the thought process. Maybe it's the lack thereof. But it's definitely an issue, man. Like, you know, I think the I don't know what needs to be done about it, but something really does, because it's just, I've talked to so many people who, you know, they do feel uncomfortable sometimes going to these events.
Yeah.
And that is just a horrible, that is the complete opposite point of these events.
Right. Completely agreed, Alec. And I think if there's one thing to take away from all this, listeners, you know, always be aware of your surroundings, you know, always be aware of how you're interacting with other people around you and how, you know, people are interacting with each other. And if you see a situation that you feel like is just wrong, don't be afraid to step in, help each other out. That goes a very long way, can really save someone's night, and can really put somebody back into a good mood. So don't be afraid to do that. But yeah, dude, great, great anti-plur moment. I don't even know if that's necessarily anti-plur. I think it's anti-plur to not be chill and not be respectful, but, you know.
Agreed.
This is good. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about this on the show. But moving on into our favorite sections of the show, the what are we listening to? Alec, we touched upon this guy, Apache, in episode 3, I believe. He has his EP.
Yes, with the anti-plur moment.
Yes, that's right. What a great segue. Yeah, with Calvin Harris being anti-plur and calling dubstep music Nazi music or whatever. Which was not cool, but Apache's EP, The Good, The Bad, The Fake. Alec, you're the one who introduced me to this, man. Like, I want to hear your thoughts. What did you think?
I know that you might differ slightly in this regard, but I actually really did like it, you know, and I've always kind of been a fan of Apache, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know if it's somebody I would see live necessarily.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, because I have heard that maybe his mixes aren't the best, and from the mixes I have heard, they're not, you know, the best. No offense to the guy, but what I love about him, the individual tracks, is just the creativity that he puts it with it. You know, the inclusion of basically orchestral instruments and like opera sounds. I mean, it's just so, like, you know, he's clearly, you know, having a good time, and, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously, as evident by that, you know, music video, which we talked about in episode 3, which was Majesty. And I really like that song.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. And I like a lot of his songs. You know, I don't know if I would go see him live. It's, you know, I've tried looking into it, tried seeing, but I would definitely give it a shot. Let's just say that. But, you know, I actually thought that this EP was very well done. And what I particularly liked about it was that it actually adhered to the real original format of an EP, right? Huh. Like, the songs do go off of each other. It truly is an extended play, you know. And I really, but see, there's like it's the details that I appreciated, right? So when you first listen to The Good, right? Or Good News, I believe it's called. Listen to that, and then you go on to Bad News. You can hear segments from the first song sampled in the second song, but it's different. And then Fake News, he completely changes the vibe and almost goes house, right?
Yeah.
Like, but there's still segments from each song, and so it's all interconnected, and it's just very creative. And each song is, while they have that connection to each other, is different. So that's what I really appreciate. It's just different, you know? Like, it's just, I haven't heard anybody like him.
Dude,
I don't know about you.
Great, great observation. That is actually something I completely didn't even take into account here. But
so that's what I'm looking at when I say I really like this, and I was raving about him when I was raving about his songs to you. Is that that's what I'm raving about, really, is the attention to detail that is present in every song, actually, that he puts out. No matter how much fun he wants to play, there's a lot of attention to detail. And there's so many layers, and it's done in mass. Yeah. It's done so well that you won't even notice it sometimes.
Right.
Right.
That's interesting, man. I didn't really think of
like
it that
I way. Always when I listen to a song of his, what I'm listening to actually, what I'm looking out for, is the different layers that he's adding on.
Right.
As the song progresses, and the different instruments he's adding in, and it's just so well done. Like, you know, you could tell. I believe he's classically trained. I don't know. Maybe, I think he was. I read that somewhere. You know, but that, again, it doesn't surprise me in terms of, I think, just from a pure sound design perspective, as well as a musical theory perspective, he's very good, right?
Yeah.
You know, But I can see why, you know, I don't think Good News on that EP, that wasn't my favorite, but I really liked Bad News, and I thought Fake News was hilarious, and I really liked that one too.
Yeah, dude. Alec, I mean, I pretty much kind of agree with you that Good News was not a song that I really enjoyed all that much. Bad News was definitely my favorite track off of this EP. And Fake News was funny, but again, like, I guess it really didn't do all that much for me. I'm glad that I listened to it. I'm glad that I really gave Apache a chance here. And I'm glad I got a chance to, you know, listen to this EP. And, you know, hearing you talk about this EP has given me a better appreciation, I think, for this EP, this 3-track EP. But it's not going to be ranked all that high on my list. And I think we should give it a rating. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
Okay, cool. So before we get into that, I just want to quickly go over our rating scale for our listeners here. So listeners, we have a particular rating scale that we use here on Beyond the Beats. It's got 5 levels, level 1 through 5, with 5 being the highest and 1 being the lowest. Level 1 is called One Listen. It's where Alec and I will pick up a piece of music and we'll give it a shot. And, you know, that's probably the only time that we'll give it a shot. We gave it a chance, but the reason why we call it One Listen is because we're encouraging our listeners to at least give it a one listen, or at least give it one chance. So that's level 1, One Listen. Level 2 is called Background Noise. It's when a piece of music comes on. You might be doing something else. You might be cooking, or, you know, putting away clothes or doing laundry or whatever. And it's not something that's going to make you want to skip the track. You're not crazy about it, but, you know, it's on in the background. You don't mind it being there. So that's level 2 is Background Noise. Level 3 is called Turn It Up. It's pretty self-explanatory, but when a piece of music comes on, you're going to grab the volume knob and you're going to crank it up. You want to hear that loud and proud. So that's level 3 is Turn It Up. Level 4 is Just Bought Tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, listen to a release from an artist, and it implores you to want to basically look up the tour dates for that artist and see when are they coming to your town next. And so that's level 4, Just Bought Tickets. Level 5 is Speechless. It's when you listen to a piece of music and it literally leaves you speechless. It's just you and the music. You're on a different level. You're connecting with it. And that's it. It leaves you speechless. So that's 1 through 5. Level 1 being One Listen. Level 2 is Background Noise. Level 3 is Turn It Up. Level 4 is Just Bought Tickets. And level 5 is Speechless. So, Alec, what did you think of Apache's EP, The Good, The Bad, The Fake?
This is a really tough one for me, believe it or not. You know, I'm gonna go with a Turn It Up, actually. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. So level 3, you know, I definitely want to go see him, you know. I don't know necessarily if the music objectively, like, in a vacuum of everything that I like about him.
Right.
I don't know if it's gonna, you know, really push me over that edge to go, like, I need to go see, you know, this guy live.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, you know, listeners, it really is like the levels 4 and 5, you know, when you're getting up there, for us, Samir and I, we're quite picky when it comes
for
to
sure.
that.
Absolutely.
Right, you know, and I think it hasn't seemed quite like that, I think, on the show in general yet, because we've really been very picky about who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So we're already picking people that we do want to go see, and that, you know, so it's already a selection process there. But for Apache, I'm just giving it a Turn It Up. But I really enjoyed the creativity, and I'm looking at, I definitely want to look more into, you know, what he's like live.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm a little surprised. I thought you would have gone with Just Bought Tickets for this one, but okay.
I know. I'm torn, man. Don't make me regret it. I'm like, you know, be driving back late.
I hope it keeps,
like,
you up at night, dude. I hope it keeps you
up
at night.
I'm gonna be getting night sweats.
Oh my god, that's so funny. For Apache's EP, I'm going to give it a Background Noise. You know, it's a level 2. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't mind if it comes on, you know, and if Bad News comes on, then great. You know, if it was Bad News was a standalone track, I would give this a Turn It Up. But, you know, with the rest of it, Good News, Bad News, and Fake News, with all of it kind of culminating together, this is just going to be a Background Noise. You know, if it's on, great. If it's not, whatever. It's not, I'm not going to miss it. So, yeah, that's my honest opinion of Apache's EP.
We'll see. I think I'm going to change your mind. I'm going to change your mind on it. We're going to be playing around with some music sometime. Yeah. I'm going to throw this song, and you're going to be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Awesome.
What is this track? Is this the new Chainsmokers?
And I'm
going to
be like, guess what? Oh God, stop it. I know you would die, I played Chainsmokers.
I'd love speechless,
love,
dude.
Listeners, if you know anything about this podcast, you know that Samir absolutely adores the Chainsmokers.
Please stop. please stop filling this podcast with lies, dude. Just stop it, all right?
Fake news, man. It's fake news.
Yeah, this is fake news, straight up. This is great.
What's the lyrics? If you see it on your Twitter feed, you know it's fake news or something like that. Like,
the lyrics are
funny. Just listen
track.
To it for the lyrics. It's great. Absolutely. He's a funny guy.
Listeners, we'll have a link to this in our show notes, so definitely go and check it out. But the other piece of music that we are listening to is Giuseppe Stein's Blast Off. This is another track off of his album that's actually dropping next week, I believe. Dropping next week, and this song is featuring Pharrell Williams. So, I'll be honest, when I saw Pharrell Williams on this single that was released, I was like, oh God, I hope this is not another track like the one that he did with The Weeknd. But it's not, and I'm happy to say that. Like, I feel like Giuseppe Stein's talent had actually shown through on this track, and what's even more impressive is that Pharrell Williams' vocals and his vibe on the track match very nicely, and I'm happy to say that I actually really liked this release a lot more than I liked The Weeknd and Giuseppe Stein's song.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with you here, definitely, man. Like, you know, you could tell that Giuseppe Stein, it just showed off more of his, you know, electronic music expertise.
And oh, absolutely.
Really matched the vocals very well, right? Like, actually, I was really surprised. Like, Pharrell Williams, it really matched the song very well.
Right. I completely agreed, dude. Completely agreed. And so, you know, if we were, like, reviewing, I believe the song is called Lost in the Fire, the one that he did with The Weeknd. And if we were reviewing that song, I'd be honest, I'd give it a one listen. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's how much I really did not enjoy that song, because it was just like, what is this? Like, this is not Giuseppe Stein. I feel like his magic and his talent just did not show through. But with Giuseppe Stein's song Blast Off that he did with Pharrell Williams, I'm going to give this a turn it up. I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it.
Yep,
and
me too.
I'm pumped. And I think this is just such a much bigger step than the release that he did with The Weeknd. Alec, what do you think?
No, I'm on board with you here. Turn it up all the way.
For sure, dude, for sure. So, listeners, like we said, we're going to have links to these tracks in our show notes. You know, it's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on your favorite podcasting app if it allows for show notes to be displayed. So you'll have easy access to these songs, so definitely go check it out and, you know, formulate your opinions and let us know what you think as well. But now, here we go. Here we go. Artists that we're watching. Alec, what's up, man? Who are you watching right now?
So I came across this guy last week. Actually, I think the week before, and it came right after we talked about R.L. Grimes' newest song, Arcus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And loved that song. But then I think it was actually, shout out to this guy, but, you know, we mentioned him on our first real episode, No Etiquette. I believe I saw that he reposted this flip that this guy called Suto, S-U-T-O, did. And I was like, interesting. Okay, I'll take a look at it. And I'll tell you what, it is very, very well done.
Absolutely.
So I didn't actually, you know, I completely forgot about it. Like, I just kind of assumed he was decently big just because, you know, that he'd flipped this track. But then I came back to it last week and I went into it and did a little more digging. And the guy is like, you know, he's really, really new on the scene.
Absolutely.
And he's got some major, major talent, you know, and it just blows me away, some of the talent of these people who, you know, are just getting started off and how good the quality is now.
Right.
Right, just from get going. He doesn't really have, I think he doesn't have many originals, right? But get this, on SoundCloud, he only has 369 followers.
Love it.
That's it.
Love it, dude.
That is it. And I believe he has 500 plus on Spotify.
Yeah.
But we'll play a little bit of a clip of this, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. It's got this really, really great... the drop is different from the original, but it's this uplifting. You know, it's got this really great future trap / future bass vibe to it. Take a listen.
Dude, I get it. I completely get it. This guy, I mean, just for the amount of followers and the amount of notoriety that he has so far, is extremely, extremely talented. Like, I did a little bit of research on him as well. You know, he seems to, I think the Synesthesia Record Collective, he seems to have some ties with the people on that collective. Like, yeah, I, you know, No Etiquette, I think, was one of them. But who's the artist that starts with a K? It's like K-R, like Krilla or something like that.
Krilla.
Yeah. So I think he has some ties with Krilla.
Shout out to him. He's great, by the way. He's killing it right now. We haven't mentioned him on our show.
I think
we will.
Briefly mentioned Krilla. Maybe not, actually. Yeah.
Well, we have to. He's doing a you know, a really great job, and it's just so cool seeing all those guys grow.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Synesthesia Records Collective is awesome. And Sudo, I think he's been recognized by some of the artists on that collective, and there's a good reason why. Yeah, this flip of Arl Grime and Graves' song Arcus is very, very well done. I'm very pleased with this.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what happens, because, you know, I think he's also tapping into a, you know, subgenre that's quite popular right now.
Yeah.
You know? And so this is a really good time for him to be coming into the scene. And, you know, a shout out to him for doing, you know, stellar, absolutely stellar flip.
For sure. For sure. And, yeah, we were expecting big things from him as well. So, dude, thank you for introducing us to Sudo. Sudo? Sudo? How do you say it?
Sudo, Sudo. We'll find out. Maybe I'll reach out to him.
Sudo, if you listen to this episode of the pod, definitely let us know what you think. We're going to be tagging you when this episode is released. So let us, like, how do we say your name, man? Let us know.
The most basic question you could possibly ask.
For sure.
How do I say your name?
Yeah, exactly. But I want to quickly just talk about you knew this was going to happen. No, it's like,
I didn't.
Well, now okay. You do. UKNEW, all one word, you knew. It's this guy from Las Vegas. He's done a remix of Mala's Bling Bling, which actually, I'll be honest, I like this remix more than I like the original Bling Bling from Mala. So very, very pleased to hear that. But he has this original track called Whoa. It's a little bit of a house song, G-House song. We're going to play a little clip of it right here for you guys.
Whoa.
Dude.
Yeah.
You know, all right, so I have a slight confession to make.
Oh,
hashtag
no.
Charmy's confessions.
Oh, dude.
So I didn't realize this, but I've come across this guy before.
How have you come across him before?
Randomly, but...
And how did you not share it with me in the first place, man? We could have talked about him on an earlier episode.
Hold on. I'm upset. Hold on. I didn't even... See, it was one of those things where it was like, I guess like I was briefly playing it at the gym.
Yeah.
But I didn't even think about it. I liked it on SoundCloud.
Nice.
I can't remember which track it was now. I have to go back and see.
Right.
But I completely forgot about it. You know, it's one of those things where I completely forgot about. And then when you sent me the Bling Bling remix, I have to agree, I'm not going to lie. Sorry, Marla, you're an absolute legend, but wow, is that remix amazing.
For sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, God. You know, I was so happy when you sent this to me, because this is just fantastic,
yeah.
G-House. You know, and his original track, Whoa, it's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. I'm really excited to see what goes on. You know, I mean, hell, he's from Las Vegas, so he's already in a good area.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
For getting started, you know. Shout out to him. I want to see if he playing any gigs. Do you know?
Well, speaking of gigs, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I was stalking him on Instagram a little bit, and you knew. I'm sorry that I have to admit that on air. I hope you don't mind. But I'm pretty sure that he opened for Mala at one of his shows on the Confessions tour. Not the Confessions tour. Illegal tour. On the Illegal tour. So like the most recent tour that Mala just did. Yeah,
what?
I'm pretty sure he did, because he posted something on Instagram. And he didn't tag Mala in it, but it was him on stage playing, and one of the tags was hashtag Mala and hashtag Illegal Tour.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure that he's open for Mala. So just huge things coming from you new and listeners. We're going to have a link to his SoundCloud and, you know, his, you know, this track Whoa as well in our show notes. And really quickly, just speaking of his SoundCloud, he has 4,525 followers on SoundCloud and 266 followers on Instagram. So even though he's, you know, gracing the stage with the mastermind and the masked man that is Mala, you know, he still is relatively unknown, and we got to get this man our support. You guys have got to go check out his music, because he is extremely talented.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, it was just so... I can't wait, honestly. Like, definitely look at this guy and... Shout, you know, just great job by Mala and, you know, Confessions in general. They just have a really great eye for these people, right?
Absolutely.
And I think it just goes to show the fact that, you know, this guy is still relatively underground, but, you know, they gave him that shot, and I'm sure he crushed it.
Right.
And it's only going to open up more doors for Yeonhui in the future.
Totally agreed, dude. Totally agreed. And Yeonhui, Alec and I will be out in Vegas. And if you listen to this, we'd love to meet up. You know, maybe we'll get a drink together or something. That'd be pretty cool. But
definitely.
Yeah. This is this is a good episode. I think we covered a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah, I know. I barely was coughing throughout it. I've still got.
Yeah,
a bit
dude,
of a cough,
you sound
so.
Like you're better, man. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm getting better. Getting there. Slowly but surely.
Cool.
But a great episode. So much stuff that we've covered. You know, and yeah, we'll keep the ball rolling. And we started seeing some people giving us more feedback, and this is great. Like, I can't encourage you guys and gals listening more. That more than, you know, what we've already done, we've already said it, but seriously, feedback is fantastic for us. It makes us do a better job,
right.
Improve the podcast, you know, and I'm so excited because in the next month or so, you know, Samir and I are gonna be rolling out some really new neat new features.
Yeah, very, very excited, man. I there's a lot of good stuff happening for Beyond the Beats here. And not only that, Alec has already mentioned this before, but listeners, we truly, truly mean this. Thank you guys all so much for your support. And the comments, the ratings on the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcast from, those go an extremely, extremely long way. And we'd really, really appreciate it if you could just take some time to drop us a rating or drop us a review. It would really mean a lot to us.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right. Well, then, Alec, I will talk to you, well, probably very soon, but we will talk to the listeners and each other next week for episode 7 of the pod.
Can't wait. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
All right, guys. Bye.